This is Walking Your Talk, a personal development podcast about leadership, authenticity, and courage. I'm Carolyn Taylor, and I've spent my life working with leaders in organizations on how to change their culture. But this is much more personal. If you want to be known as someone who walks your talk at work and beyond, then this podcast is for you. Hello again, and welcome to this series in the podcast, which is based on Walking the Talk's new assessment tool, the Taylor Assessment, which is a way of better understanding yourself, your team, your leaders, those you're thinking of recruiting, in terms of their likely contribution to the culture that you're trying to build. In the last episode, I suggested that you had a reflection on your own culture goals and your own natural contribution to start to think about, you know, maybe is there a gap between those two? And if so, what might you be able to do about it? Because the tool is based around these six culture archetypes, which are just a really useful way of looking at your people and looking at your culture, whether you're using the tool or not. So this episode centers on the achievement archetype. And for each archetype I'm going to describe, I want to give you some of the benefits that it will deliver to your organization and some of the problems that it would help you to overcome. Because, of course, in the years I've been doing this, I have seen many organizations who are awesome at achievement and many who just are really not. And so understanding that, I think, will give you the motivation to then start to strengthen it if it's not so good at your level. So an achievement culture, above all, delivers accountability. It delivers discipline and focus and ownership, clear, speedy decision-making, and a consistency in performance. So immediately I can imagine you're salivating. I mean, we all want that, right? And there are some patterns of behavior that will lead to that, that are constant and consistent in certain organizations, in certain cultures, and there are some that are not. And those who don't have an achievement culture will tend to experience avoidance, excessive busy quality. Everyone's very active, very busy, but without delivering results. A lot of disorganization, often a lot of blame, difficulties with stopping things, because stopping something involves really taking ownership for the judgment that you're making that this isn't working out, and a tendency to be overly optimistic in the promises that are made either to customers, to shareholders, to each other, which then don't get delivered. So as you can hear, achievement has a very attractive set of attributes and balances out some of these less desirable features that I know frustrate many of our clients and maybe frustrate you. So as I go through each of the archetypes in the next episodes, you're going to feel like, as we say in English, a child in a candy shop. You want it all. Oh, this is great. Oh, I'd love to have that one. Oh, this is just what we need. But in the real world, we do have to prioritize. And what the Taylor Assessment does is it forces you to do that prioritization at a personal level. We talk about what are your preferences, what are the key behaviors that are most relevant and meaningful to you. And as you complete the tool and rank these statements against certain anchor behaviors, you'll find that certain behaviors, or we'll find when we do the when we calibrate your results, that certain behaviors will rise to the top and appear as the highest preferences in your profile. And in the achievement archetype, we have tested many behaviors and we came down to five. And I want to talk those through with you because I think you will find that they will give you an insight about what it takes to lead an achievement culture. There are, if you search back through the many episodes I've done in this podcast, from some of them from 3 or 4 years ago now, they will, each of the series has got a heading, and you'll see certain headings that as I go through this will relate, you'll see relates to the achievement archetype. So if you want more information, you can go much more deeply back there. So the first of the five behaviors is accountability. And that is defined, as those of you who have listened to the earlier episodes of my podcast would know, as making and keeping promises and having others do the same. And I actually have written a book called Accountability at Work, which goes more deeply into this. Accountability, the ability to just do what you say you're going to do, is, for me personally, one of the deepest values that I hold. And I think others in my organization would say that it's one of the things that I've always held true in my own leadership, in what I've encouraged in others. And one of the things I'm really proud in walking the talk is that I can see it now. It's just deeply in the culture. So it's just taken on a life of its own. People in our organization don't not deliver on things. If they said they're going to do something, they do it. And, you know, if someone doesn't meet a goal or doesn't hit something, they feel really, really bad about it. They really have to think deeply about how that happened, and was it a true promise, or was it only ever an intention? And you know, I could go on for ages about this, but this is one that I feel very strongly personally about. The second key behavior that we identified, we called results orientation. And that really measures the ability to recognize that everything that we do, certainly in a work context, should be geared towards achieving a certain outcome. And it moves away from that tendency that can happen in organizations of people just to get very busy, very active, and to generate activity really as a form of justification that, you know, I'm here in this business, I have this role, and therefore I matter. But really, what are the outcomes that we're trying to achieve is something that many fewer people actually have that strong orientation. So when you get that, when you have that in an individual, you will see how much easier they find it, for example, to stop certain activities, to prioritize, to always be coming back to, yeah, but why are we doing this? What are we going to achieve out of this? It's a wonderful trait to have. The third behavior that we've isolated is prioritization, which really leads on to what I was saying before. And oh my goodness, I know so many clients, so many organizations who are struggling with prioritization. You know, people are just absolutely overwhelmed with work. So there's a big personal cost to this. Even a mental health cost to this sometimes. But more than that, there is also a business cost, because when you try to do everything, you will tend not to do anything as well. You're spreading your resources, your budget, your people across so many different activities. And the ability to prioritize is a wonderful trait. It's a one we find people who have this as a preference. You know, obviously they've learned to say no. They have learned to be unpopular sometimes in doing that. They have learned to have the courage of their convictions to back their own judgment. And they have learned to think very carefully about why are we doing certain outcomes and what will be the benefit that will be the value that will be delivered. So prioritization is another of the key skills the key attributes, I should say. The fourth one we've called commerciality. And this really is measuring the extent to which a person sees the importance of testing what they do against some really strong commercial criteria. Will this actually make more revenue or deliver less cost or increase our profit margin or whatever happens to matter most? So some people can be very outcome focused, they can be very results focused, but they wouldn't necessarily measure those results in terms of a commercial outcome. And certainly for some roles, that's a very important ingredient. And the final one of the five behaviors is risk mastery. Now, this is the least common one we're finding in people who complete this assessment. But when it's strong, it shows a strong focus on anticipating, evaluating, and mitigating against the many things that could go wrong and prevent you from achieving your goal or whatever it is you're trying to do. So the better someone is at mastering risk, and that's how we define it, the bigger stretch goals that they can then deliver, because they literally know how to de-risk opportunities and make them easier to capitalize on. And we've built a whole program around this concept because it is something which most people do not spend time again. Most teams do not sit down and go, what could go wrong with this? And if it does go wrong, what are we going to do to still make sure we achieve a goal? So risk mastery really delivers consistency of performance because it helps a team or an organization to actually do what they say they're going to do and meet their promises because they have mitigated against what might go wrong and make it difficult for them to do that. So here's a piece of thinking for you. If your organization was to strengthen the achievement elements in your culture, how would you best contribute to that? And where might you be seen to not walk that talk? And what about the people in your team or even your whole team? And if you're in a role where you're recruiting new talent, how are you evaluating whether those people will actually be a net positive or a net negative contributor to that achievement culture? So I do encourage you to really think about the shadow that you and these people cast around them, because that's individuals build a culture around them, and if they build the right one, you will get all the strategic and performance benefits of that. So the Taylor Assessment's available to help you make those assessments as a support tool for the development interventions that you can offer to different individuals. But first, I think for you, your role is to think very carefully about what you most want, which part of that candy in the candy shop is most valuable to you right now, and how can you build that in your team? The next episode, I'll offer you some insights into another one of the culture archetypes and tempt you with all the benefits that that can deliver. And if you'd like to find out more about the Taylor Assessment, just contact someone at Walking the Talk through our website, www.walkingthetalk.com. Okay, so I will see you in the next episode. Goodbye.